The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
We're going to kick things off, though, with a conversation that started actually on News Talk Breakfast this morning, because they spoke to a representative of SIPDU about the need for a transport police. And Blake Boland is with me, who's the spokesperson for Dublin Bus. Blake, you're welcome to the show. This is included in the programme for government, a dedication to roll out some version of a transport police. The sooner the better, I take it, is your view, is it?
Absolutely. There is a commitment there in the programme for government, as you said, and that is fully welcome. What we need is this to be implemented, for this to come in as quickly as possible. And we really do welcome that that's there, but there's a challenge ahead to get it implemented. And as we can see from a terrible incident that happened to one of our drivers, heart goes out to him recently, that this is needed.
So this incident happened on Friday evening, and it's the subject of a criminal investigation. So we're limited in what we can say, but people would have seen the headlines allegations of what appeared to be a gun pulled on the driver, and a threat that he would have his head blown off. I mean, this is an antisocial behaviour, which is what we sometimes talk about. I mean, stuff like that, and we'll kind of park that particular incident, but stuff like that is criminal behaviour, isn't it?
Yeah, like our heart really does go out to the driver. This should not happen. Our employees, our customers, nobody in Ireland should face something like this. It really is just terribly regrettable, and we need to do whatever we can to make sure that this doesn't happen again. But you're right, there's a gamut of severity there. You know, we do face antisocial behaviour incidents, such as someone throwing a stone at the bus, for example. This is one of those very, very serious incidents of antisocial behaviour, or in fact criminal, as you said there. There is a real range there, and the severity of these ones, they're not common at all, but still one is too many.
Yeah. How common though are incidents that would be across that range, from mild antisocial behaviour right up to something really serious like this? And are they becoming more common?
So we do keep statistics on that, and unfortunately they are rising. So even from, you take the year before, you know, it was March 2020 when COVID broke out. If we take even 2019 statistics, you know, they've essentially doubled since then. So this is a worrying trend. Now, last year kind of plateaued a little bit compared to the previous year, but it's still way too high. That doubling is there. And there is that severity. So it is just, okay, the stone throwing at times, all right, but this goes up to some very, very serious incidents. And we're taking as many measures as we can to try to prevent these happening, because our employees and our customers deserve to feel safe on a bus.
What measures can ye put in place then, short of a dedicated transport police?
So there's lots of measures that we have done already. I mean, there's driver training on how to deal with these things. They're in constant contact with central control, so they have an emergency button that they can hit there, and our operators in central control will be on to Garda Síochána liaising with them. So there are measures like that. Our more modern buses now all buses have cameras on them. The more modern ones have 11 internal cameras and 3 or 4 outside as well. But the biggest thing that we have done is the Safer Journeys team, that pilot that we launched in October of last year. Now that is past the pilot phase. We have continued it on, and in fact we've just expanded that to 3 teams from the initial 2. Mm. And we're looking to take that further as well.
And what is that? Remind us of that pilot project.
So we had initially 2 teams. It's up to 3 now. So there's a team of trained security professionals who will board buses around the city. So we have 1 team that will operate on the south side, 1 on the north, and then 1 that's very much central. And they are there to prevent, really. That's the main thing. If they can, they do have powers of detention, not arrest, just to make that clear. They have powers of detention and have done so to individuals while waiting for the Gardaí. And having that visibility there, that assures people, and it deters these incidents as well. And that's perhaps the biggest one that we've done. But as we've mentioned there, what we alluded to, we need this to go a step further as quickly
as possible. Okay, so you have evidence that the presence of those security teams actually curtails this type of stuff. What about CCTV? Because it is well advertised on the bus, you know, that you're on CCTV, we can see you should you engage in anything. Is there evidence that that actually stops things happening that might otherwise have happened? Or is it more about kind of catching people after the fact that they can be identified?
That is anecdotal. I'm not going to sit here and say I have detailed statistics that back this up. Now, our teams will be looking at that, and we do liaise with An Garda Síochána, with the unions, and we'll feed into those as it goes. But even anecdotally, knowing that you're on camera is more likely to prevent you doing something antisocial on one of our buses. And the more people that are aware that there's up to 11 cameras inside and outside as well will help with prevention. And deterring is better than trying to remediate this afterwards. Let's try and stop it before it happens.
Does it make the job of recruitment any more difficult in Dublin Bus?
Well, recruitment, actually, we've been 1,000 drivers we've taken on in the last 2 years. Mm. That's a very significant amount. We're up to 3,500 drivers now. And female drivers, in fact, are up 147% since we launched the More Men All campaign recently. So recruitment is ongoing. And those signs are good. Those numbers are good. Like, that's 1,000 drivers. That's a lot of recruitment. And we're delighted to get these drivers
on board. Okay, so at least there doesn't seem to be evidence that it's stopping people maybe taking up the position. It's still seen as a good job by sufficient numbers. But after the fact, after something more serious happens, like something we saw on Friday night or things at that end of the scale, what types of supports are offered to those drivers? Or what's the expectation in terms of returning to work if they need a period away from work?
This has to be taken on a case-by-case basis.
Yeah.
These are human beings, and the incident that we're talking about, this person went through a very traumatic effort, and we need to do whatever we can to support. And there's no one-size-fits-all here. We're all human beings, we're all individuals, we all have different needs, and we have to do whatever we can to support that driver.
So the dedication within the programme for government, as you say, is welcome. Is it a time frame that you're looking for?
Yeah, and just to be like, we very much welcome that it's in the programme for government. That shows good progress. We've had some really productive conversations with the incoming Minister for Transport and with the unions as well. But what we want to see is for this to happen as soon as possible. We can't make this happen. We can call for it. We have lobbied for it for a number of years now, and we can continue to make submissions and liaise with An Garda Síochána, politicians, etc. But we can't make this happen, and we do want this to happen as quickly as possible.
And I'm conscious, we're going to come back to this after 5 o'clock, and we'll be speaking to people from the commuter, the service user point of view. And we shouldn't forget them in this conversation either, because it can be a very scary time if you're on the bus and something like this kicks off, particularly if you're a vulnerable user and you can't necessarily kind of hop off and scuttle down the street as quickly as the rest of us might be able to.
Yeah, that's very true. And as we've spoken about the whole time here, we want to make this as safe as possible. But a little bit of context here, like, on a busy day, we will carry 500,000 passengers, 159 million people boarded our buses last year. We're talking about just over 1,000 incidents. So I'm not fantastic at mathematics, but that's, you know, in the region of 0.0006%.
Mm.
So this is, you know, very regrettable. One incident is too many. But this is still a safe transport service.
It's funny, it reminds me when you say that about the conversations that are sometimes had about Dublin City Centre, and they can be all kind of doom and gloom and it's a no-go area. And then I walk out of this building, which happens to be a Dublin City Centre, on Thursday evening, and it's absolutely teeming outside with people enjoying it. I mean, there are absolutely problems, and we shouldn't shy away from that fact, and they have to be dealt with. But you don't want to over-egg the pudding either, do you?
That's right. Like, we want to continue to grow. We want to continue to get people to take public transport. And you know, Bus Connects is coming on board and this huge investment. And we want to see that continuing and keep encouraging people.
Blake, listen, thanks a million for coming in to us. Blake Boland is a spokesperson for Dublin Bus. With me to continue the conversation is Dermot O'Leary, who's General Secretary of the National Bus and Rail Union, the NBRU, and Jason Cullen from the Dublin Commuter Coalition. You're both very welcome. Jason, can I start with you? Because the temptation often in these conversations is to focus on, I mean, the perpetrator, be it antisocial behaviour all the way up to outright criminality, or the bus driver. Understandably, I think it's often the driver this is focused at or is the target. But commuters experience this as well, and it can be a terrifying enough prospect, can't it?
Yeah, public transport safety is obviously a huge concern for us in the Dublin Commuter Coalition. There's two problems here. One, you have incidents like we had the other day where a driver had to face a gun in his face, which is something that no employee of any company should have to deal with. But equally then we have commuters who every day travel to and from their homes, their jobs, wherever it is they're going, and they have to face not just issues as serious as that, but just daily levels of antisocial behaviour and intimidation on board public transport, which is something anyone really who's regularly taking public transport will have experience in.
And the commuters most severely impacted as well, I would take it, are often more vulnerable users. I'm thinking about something kicking off on a bus, and I have been on that bus when something gets kicked off. And thankfully, I'm in the lucky position of being able to get out the doors at the back and just walk down the street and wait for the next bus. I mean, if you're a vulnerable user, if you've got additional needs, if you're in a wheelchair or you need crutches or whatever it happens to be, or if you're just a person of age who maybe needs some help on and off the bus, mm-hmm. you can feel trapped very quickly, can't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and for people with disabilities, people with particularly kind of sensitive issues, even something as simple as a group of people speaking quite loudly or boisterously at the back of the bus or playing music quite loud can be intimidating and raise that level of fear, and that just increases the general tension on a bus.
And what's your experience then of how this is dealt with at the moment when it occurs?
So, unfortunately, public transport has this air of almost lawlessness about it, because once you're in the carriage or on the bus, there is no security outside of the individual driver. And if that's a train, you could be 3, 4, 5 carriages away from someone who's responsible for that particular vehicle. Now, the Lewis services and the DART services do have dedicated security who you see from time to time. And on Garda Síochána do individual days of impact. But outside of someone physically being on your train, you do not feel comfortable. And one thing we've been calling for from on Garda Síochána is to have plainclothes officers and to start bringing in that type of scheme that you might see with Sky Marshals and things like that, because at least then there is at least a thought process that there might be someone on board who you don't recognise, and that might stop antisocial behaviour from starting in the first place.
Like I say, Dermot O'Leary is with us as well, who's General Secretary of the NBRU. Dermot, Blake Boland, who was with me earlier from Dublin Bus, said, listen, this isn't just anecdotal. We gathered the evidence and there was a marked difference in the rate of behaviour like this, be it antisocial all the way up to criminality, pre-COVID, post-COVID. And often it's your members who are at the coalface, isn't that right?
Yeah, indeed it is. Look, and listen to Jason, you know what I mean? We've been at pains to point out, certainly I have anywhere in the NBRU, anytime we come on shows like this, Karen, that there is two elements to this. There's the driver and the frontline rail staff member, the frontline transport worker, and there's also the commuter. So it's good that you have Jason on. I know Jason, we sit on the forum together, so I know Jason well. In terms of the incident there tonight, we can't talk too much about for obvious reasons, being investigated, but it is a regular occurrence across public transport. And indeed, look, Dublin Bus has called for speeding up, if you like, the implementation of a transport police or a transport security force is something we join with. But we need to temper expectations here a small bit. Any of us that do, and lots of us do, obviously follow politics, and we know that legislation takes some time to go through the machinations of the dial apparatus, if I can put it that way. Certainly, because of the way the commitment was delivered by this government, and obviously we welcome that, because we campaigned for years, and decades, in fact, for some type of police resource, Karen. But look, it's going to need primary legislation, as I understand it, and primary legislation is 12 months minimum, if not 18 months and beyond, and dial committees and all that. So, look, we've been appealing to the employer over the weekend in both Dublin Bus, Bus Éireann, and indeed Irish Rail, that whilst they are, the Safer Journeys in Dublin Bus, for example, is a good initiative, needs to be expanded. But certainly we need something to give in this space. And unfortunately, whether we like it or not, and I speak to Jason on this one, is the more and more incidents like this occur, the more and more services are going to be withdrawn. Unfortunately.
So do you worry that, I mean, when you give the timescale there, that assumes that it gets out of cabinet relatively easily and starts to make its way through the Oireachtas? It might not do so, though. It strikes me that the previous government were not hugely enthusiastic about a standalone transport police. What's changed is that the Ministry of Justice is now a Fianna Fáil ministry rather than Fine Gael. Do you worry that, you know, it's just going to become mired in the usual political debate?
To answer your question, yeah, of course you'd have a concern. And look, the reality is, and again, look, you don't have to be an avid follower of politics to understand that the last government, the justice brief was held by Fine Gael, who agreed with the Garda Commissioner for no Garda involvement in any unit. So that, and again, look, the proper government negotiations, again, it wouldn't take a genius to figure out that a Garda element wouldn't be associated with this. So that's made it more complex. And again, the concept, as I understand it, it will be under the jurisdiction of the Department of Transport, but I suspect the Attorney General will have something to say about that as well, in terms of people having powers of detention and arrest. So it will be very complex. It will take a while to manoeuvre through, as I said, the dial apparatus. In the meantime, these instances are not dissipating, and actually, in fact, they're increasing. And again, look, the onus is, unfortunately, because they're the employers, back on the companies here, and they have a duty of care both to the employee and the travelling public. And again, we do need to agree protocols. For example, we have one in Talla, flashpoints there, regular. There was only 2 years ago, there was buses out of Talla for months, unfortunately. But at least there's a protocol out there, there's a forum out there where activists, politicians, Gardaí, companies, trade unions get together and try to deal with incidents as they occur. We don't have that protocol across the country. We don't have it in many other areas either.
Jason, I'm conscious of that idea of not letting perfection be the enemy of the good. And while we're waiting for this to become a reality, and we could be waiting a while as Dermot lays out that time frame, do we need to expand that use of private security that has been used on those pilot projects? I mean, it, like we say, it's not perfect, but by all accounts, it does have an impact.
Yeah, and look, this is something that we've obviously spoken to Dublin Bus about, and I've had a briefing from Billy Han just on the ongoing progress of that. And it certainly does have an impact, but what they'll tell you is it's not going to eliminate the problem. It will help to mitigate things from starting. But, you know, there's a general level of culture change that needs to happen in order for people to understand that the bus is a place that needs to have its security and safety respected. I don't think that security on board buses will have necessarily alleviated or stopped this particular problem that we had on Friday from happening. But, you know, onboard security, it really needs to not only be present to de-escalate situations, but to ensure that people know that buses are no longer a place of lawlessness. When you get on a bus, on a train, on a Lewis, that you are subject to the laws the rest of us are once you're outside those carriages.
And Dermot, before we go, are you satisfied with the supports that are offered to your members by Dublin Bus and by the other big transport companies, public transport companies in the state when something happens?
Again, there's two strands to that. Now, there's having a proper protocol in place, and we're not totally happy. I just mentioned we have one high-profile one in Tala. We need a situation. For example, Kieran, my office got criticised. I got criticised in November 2023 when I told my members and advised my members to withdraw services because of what happened in the riots. I got criticised internally for that. No, I wasn't able to take that type of criticism and fight back, obviously. So the bus companies and indeed the rail companies, particularly the bus companies, though, are under pressure, and the NTA have a role here. And any time I sit in front of the NTA, Kieran, which is rare, I get the impression from the NTA they try to downplay the fact that any social behaviour and sometimes criminality and outright thuggery happens on public transport. It does happen. And denying it is not going to make it go away either. But we're not. So that's one aspect. The other aspect is that internally we have people getting assaulted. We had one driver in the northeast of the country not so long ago had to leave the job because of the level of assault he received at the time. So we're not totally happy. And again, we would have written to the companies, as I said earlier, looking to sit down and have a discussion around protocols on antisocial behaviour, but how we look after staff should they be assaulted as well.
It's appalling to hear of assaults and increasing numbers of assault on public transport, says somebody else. Another listener suggests bring in the army, as somebody would always suggest in these cases. The Gardaí don't do the job they're supposed to do, so there's no chance for a transport police. There isn't enough guards in the first place. The observation of another listener. Kieran, use facial recognition technology to get on public transport in the first place, says Peter. And here's one for you. The carrying of handguns needs to be legalised for civilians, in particular women. It's too dangerous in this country now. There you go. 087-1400-106. Thank you to Dermot O'Leary, General Secretary of the National Bus and Rail Union, the NBRU, and to Jason Cullen from the Dublin Commuter Coalition.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.